Look, okay, swag keys. Yeah, you know we got them swag keys. And we giving good advice, it ain't no bad keys. It's all keys, all keys. We got mad keys. I'm talking swag keys. Look, swag keys. Yeah, you know we good advice, ain't no bad keys. Swag keys, swag keys. We got mad keys. Swag keys, swag keys. Talking mad keys. I'm talking mad keys. Yeah, yeah.
We're back, season 3. Welcome to another episode of Swag Keys with Mr. Charles and
Coach C. Welcome back. We're glad to be back, man. We've been gone for a minute, but we're back. And we have a special guest today. He has his own business, Paint with Faith, with many more. He'll tell you about it. Mr. Chavis Davis.
What up, what up, what up? Excited, very excited to be with Swag Key here. I've been watching you guys doing some exciting things. I'm so excited to be a part of what you got going on today.
We love it, man. He's definitely a big supporter. He hit us up like, yo, I got to be on the show. I love it. You know, like, I love what y'all doing, trying to impact people. And we love what you're doing, impacting people. You know what I'm saying? So whenever three people like what each other's doing, that's community right there. So we're going to help each other grow and build, right? So welcome. Man, we got an exciting show for all of y'all today, man. Just going to talk to him about, you know, his business, you know, some experiences, all right? Especially with everything going on, the craziness that's been going on lately since we've been in our absence, right? We want to address some things, all right? But go ahead, Mr. Chavis, man, go ahead and tell us, man, more about Paint with Faith. What is Paint with Faith?
First and foremost, you know, I don't like to just consider myself a business owner. I consider myself an artist. When somebody say, what do you do? I say, you know, I'm an artist because I've been doing art my whole life since I was 6 years old. And my art, it's a blessing because my art teacher noticed that. And she said, you know, you need to be at a specialized art school. You don't need to be at this regular school. I was at Norwood Elementary. And then she said, you need to go to a specialized art school. She made me try out for the magnet program. Then I transitioned to Rainbow Park Elementary, had fine art training there, and then went to Norland Middle. Had fine art training there. You know, I was born and raised in the county of Dade. And from there, I went to New Orleans Senior High. Then I went to Miami-Dade College. They had a specialized art program called VAC, Visual Art Honors Conservatory. So it was honor students who were artists. And they gave us a scholarship there. And I was very excited to receive that. Even did two murals that's still out there at the North Campus. And then from there, I transitioned, matriculated to Savannah College of Art and Design in Savannah, Georgia. Which is a very awesome art school. And if you're an artist and you want to go to an art school that's not too far away and it has quality programming, definitely SCAD is the way to go. And I got my BFA, my Bachelor of Fine Arts in Computer Art and Animation. And so I've been blessed to be an artist my whole life. And then from there, the entrepreneur bug bit me, and I've been doing a business in all various forms of art, not just Paint with Faith since then. And so just a little bit about Paint with Faith is we're a motivational painting company. And what we did is I've been doing public speaking and motivational speaking. And I've also been a coach for many years. And so I took that realm and I combined it with my artistic ability. And that's how you get Paint with Faith. We want people to be motivated through art. We want people to be encouraged through art. And what we believe is that if you can complete our class, if you can come in there being a non-artist, have an open mind, and you can finish a painting in our class, then what else could you achieve in your life? What goals, what dreams, what desires could you achieve in your life if you just had some guidance, if you had some motivation, and then you had some faith in yourself and your abilities? And if you can take those three realms, sometimes you may need a coach for your guidance. Sometimes you may need some motivation from a counselor or somebody. And then you just need to have that activating part, which is the faith in yourself. And if you can do that, then you can achieve any goal, any dream, any desire. And so we take that little model and we take a blank canvas. Our motto is your life is a canvas painted with faith. So we take that little model, that faith exercise, and we put it in one class. And so if you can complete that painting and have a blank canvas and it has something beautiful on the end, then what else could you achieve? If you just put your mind to it, you get some motivation and you get some guidance.
Man, that's so refreshing, man. That's so refreshing to hear. I honestly, that's what people need. I think that's a different route that, especially the, like the younger generation. There's so many talented artists come from the younger generation, but a lot of times us adults will hinder them, you know, as far as pursuing art.
Right. Like,
well, that won't pay the bills. You gotta get it. If you're gonna do art, go be an engineer. Go design something, right?
Yeah.
And man, I feel like we have to encourage these kids and feed into their gift. So I got in my mentoring program in the summer camp, I have like maybe four kids just absolutely gifted. And youngest, I believe, is in like third grade.
Mm-hmm.
Or second, third, two of them are third grade. And then a couple others are like sixth and seventh graders. But the, what they're able to sketch, it is, I told their parents, I said, don't push them for nothing else. Don't tell them to be no doctor. Don't tell them to be none of that. I said, folk, like, horn in on that skill.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to make them money and make them be, make them be happy. Right?
Yeah.
So, man, we got to stop encouraging these our youth to go the five major routes, you know, engineering. Well, I'm doing this in my African accent because that's how my mother told me. You have to be an engineer, a pharmacist, a doctor, a lawyer, or anything that makes big money, right?
Yeah.
And just like now, Ma, like you can make money and be happy.
Right, right.
I would hate, I got too many cousins that hate what they do. They make tons of money, but they hate it. They have a void. They want to feel. They want to just leave, but they feel like they can't leave because they invested too much time and schooling into that very thing.
Exactly.
Davis, you hit something on the head that I think a lot of us, even as adults, miss, but especially the youth. I was just talking to some of the youth the other day, is where you said you coached at some point, and then you also did art. So you tapped in more than one thing. You know what I'm saying? I think, especially nowadays, everybody is so focused on one thing when you have more than one talent. And like you said, you brought what your coaching did, and you know, you being an artist, you brought that together to get paint with faith. So I think that's a key that we could tap into our other blessings to help us, you know, minimize and convert to what it is that we, you know, truly want to do. But you could still get other stuff on the side because, like the saying goes, it's nothing wrong with having multiple incomes.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? If you're good at painting, training, and motivational speaker, why should you have to choose one? Do all three.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I think we minimize ourselves or throw stuff under the table and work on one thing so much and we forget the other things that we have, and then we get frustrated and, you know, things sour, and now we just stuck. Or the other thing is, with everybody telling us what we should do.
Right.
It's what about what you do, what you love. Forget what the world say. The world gonna always have an opinion. You live off people's opinion, you will never be happy. I'm sorry, because you may make everybody on the left side happy, but everybody on the right side wants you to do something else.
Definitely. I found out in my life, and I got a couple of things that kind of moved me. And you gotta be able to be moved when you're activated to move. I do a lot of stuff. I don't just do pain with faith, but I do a lot of things that I don't even really talk about. And the most important thing is balance. You got to have that balance in your life. I have a wife and I got four sons, so I definitely got to balance that. I was a teacher as well as a coach, as well as an entrepreneur. I'm also a youth minister at a church, and I also do the media ministry at a church. So I got a lot of things going on, but you really got to know how to balance it. The Bible says your gift will make room for you. So if you take that gift, it'll make the room for you. The Bible also says, and you know the story of the talents. You know, the master gave him some talents, and they had to take those talents and they had to do something with it. And when they use those talents, when they use those gifts, it's actually money. But if you use that same vernacular, and if you take that talent and that gift and you apply it to something, then you will also receive more talents. And so that's what I asked God to do for me, to be able to use myself full. Les Brown said, when you die, you need to die empty. That means you need to pour all yourself out into the world and be able to die empty. And so last year, 2019, January, I got in a horrible car accident. My car was completely totaled, but God had spared me. He saved my life. The whole car was destroyed except where I was sitting. And I walked away, no injuries, no concussion, nothing. And so I said, God, you showing me that I have a purpose on this earth, and I have to fulfill that purpose. I need to stop sitting down, doing nothing. All the things that I was supposed to be doing in 2020 when it started, I activated and I started pushing it out. So I'm also a best-selling author of my comic book. I have 4 issues that's out, bestsellers on Amazon. I got 2 issues that's bestsellers. I got issue number 5 coming out this year. I got issue number 6. So I'm pouring myself all the way out. You know, I wrote the comic book, I drew it, and I colored it. I did the whole comic book myself. And so with those 4 issues, you know, it takes me a whole year to do 1 issue. And so I was blessed to get some new material, some new things, and now I could really crank out the comic book. But it's important that we understand that we can use all our gifts. We just got to manage our time to do it. We don't have time to be sitting back and just waiting for stuff to happen. When everybody's sleeping, you up grinding. When everybody's out playing and watching movies, you out there grinding. When everybody on Netflix, you out there putting in work. And so even if you're watching Netflix, you can still be working. I'll watch Netflix and draw at the same time. So it's, you just got to be able to balance and do what you're supposed to do and give yourself that goal and the time to reach that goal.
Awesome. I think, like you said, I think that a key thing you said, give yourself time. I think we want things so quickly, that we're not willing to wait for it to develop, right? Like we just kind of like, I want to be rich now, you know, like, and I'm gonna do whatever it takes to be rich in 30 days, right? Yeah. And it's not the case. I learned when, especially when you're dealing with stocks, right? You can't go in trying to thinking that you're gonna get a high yield return right away, and it's not the case. So same thing in life, it's like you got to put in over time. It was going to develop to what you wanted, but you have to be patient. I know with faith, you were patient as the build went on. Somebody telling you, man, forget about it. You got to start right now. It's just, I'm actually moving and piecing it together. So I got and then even with clientele, I told Coach C numerous times, she knows that I think I was bugging out about, like, when I first started my mentoring program, after school program, I was bugging out about, like, man, I don't got enough kids. I'm trying to get 100 people right now. I'm trying to have 100 kids right now, academic and mentoring. Like, that's what I'm doing right now. And I was stressing myself out because the point that it wasn't developing as quickly as I wanted to at that point. Right. So I had to just woosah. And continue, like you said, continue to work at it.
Yeah.
Continue to work at it, because that's the big thing. You got to continue to work at it. You can't kind of like sit back, you know. So, man, like, that was you get some nuggets. Some nuggets.
Man, the key thing to me was balance. Like you said, we got, of course, so many gifts, but balance. Oh, my God. Yep. Balance is so essential. Like, I can't even stress it enough. Balance, self-care, what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Self-love, like, just having things in order can change your life 10 times. People don't even know that. Yeah. You doing this real quick, boom, boom. You going to this, doing this. No, you moving too fast. You're not really pouring your all. You got 1 foot in, 1 foot out, because you just trying, like you said, you just trying to hurry up and get that money. So I'm going to go ahead. Yeah, I'm gifted at this, but I'm going to go ahead and do this real quick and move on, do this real quick and move over that, do that real quick. Yeah. No, because at the end of the day, it's going to catch up with you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if you're really real with yourself, you're going to look in the mirror. Because me personally, you know, when I do business, I like to say, what I sell, Davis, this, if, you know what I'm saying, if I wear it, or, you know what I'm saying, if it'll look good, what I, you know what I'm saying, like, so I don't like to sell anything that I wouldn't get.
Right.
I don't like to give a speech that I wouldn't listen to.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't tell a child anything that I wouldn't do or expect of them. So, you know what I'm saying, if I'm just in and out, quick, boom, boom, you know, what is it? What is it?
Yeah.
But the question that I have for you is, you said you was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
when you decided to walk away from teaching, what was the backlash from family and friends? I know, like, bro, you crazy, bro. Your painting junk ain't rocking like that. Like, what you doing? You got a wife and four kids.
Yeah, I definitely got all those conversations, and you know, the biggest thing is, and I'll tell you a short timeline of how it worked. I started Painting with Faith back in 2014, and so, Charles, like you said, it takes some time. You know, I started 2014, and what I started to do is I had to test it out first. I was actually going to buy the Painting with a Twist franchise, and I said, you know, what it costs for the franchise is not, to me, it didn't have the right value. I said, I can build this myself. All I need is the materials. I have the knowledge. I have the know-how, and I can build it myself. And so what I did is I did pilot classes. I had my family come over, I had my friends come over, had church family come over, and I did a bunch of free classes, you know, just practicing, getting my skill on. I was a teacher at Booker T. Washington Elementary. I tried it on my class. I set up the whole thing, and I did it with my students. And so from there, you know, I really started to market myself and build out who I was. And I actually got an opportunity with a nonprofit organization, Big Ideas. They gave me my first opportunity. And then I did it with a sorority that gave me an opportunity. And so with those two platforms, I was able to kind of build out what we're doing with Paint with Faith. And so I took my time. I came up with a plan. As they say, plan your work and then work your plan. So I created a plan for myself of how I can transition out from being a teacher to a full-time entrepreneur. And so I read a book by Dave Ramsey. It's called Entree Leadership. And what it did was, it told me that if I can achieve a level of what I'm making as a teacher in my business, then it's time to go. And so I put forth the plan for me to make, you know, teachers only make about $42,000 a year, $45,000. You know, if you're doing really good, you got some years and you might be making $50,000 or $60,000 if you got all these masters and all these specialty degrees. And if you're a principal, you're making maybe $120,000. And I said, you know, if I can make $40,000 and just Paint with Faith and my art business, then I can be able to walk away from teaching. And so once I achieve that level, I say, you know what? It's time to go. All my students, and I'm going to tell you this too. God will use a lot of people to send you messages. And so I had been at Booker T for about 5 years at this time. And I had a student that left and came back and said, Mr. Davis, you still here? You still here, Mr. Davis? You said you was going to leave last year. You said you only 2 years ago. What about your business? And that convicted me. That convicted me to say, you know, it's time for me to go, because I made a promise to this student and he recognized it and he called me out. So I got to be what I say I am. And so I went to in front of the church and I said, guys, pray for me. I'm going to make a huge transition to leave my job. And I said, how can I tell people to live their life with faith if I'm not going to do it first? And so I had to be what I'm telling people to be. I had to show what I'm showing people to do. And so I had to become a person of faith and walk away from what security was, walk away from what I'm used to, walk away from a 9-to-5 to show people and to be that example that you can live your life with faith. And so I walked away from my job. My mom said, what are you doing? You know, you can do that part-time. I had coworkers that came to me and said, Mr. Davis, you can do both. You can still be a teacher and run your business. They said, don't go. You got security here. You got this and that. And so I'll tell you this last piece that really put the knife and turned in for me. My son's name is Apollos. And Apollos, he has a very slick mouth, but to honest, because I'm the same way. And he will tell you exactly what's on his mind. And when he give you words, they're powerful. I mean, when he tell you something, it's deep. And I name him Apollos after the person in the Bible who has a very good speaking ability. And so he told me, I made a promise to them. I said, guys, if I ever bring up going back to teaching, I'm going to give you $1 every time. And this is me exercising my faith with my sons. And I say, every time I mention going back to work, because I was teeter-tottering, I didn't know what to do, I was getting faithless, I was doubtful. I say, every time I mention going back, I have to give you guys $1. And I got four sons, so that would be $4 out every time I mention it. And so I took a leave of absence for 1 year in 2018 and really see if I can build a business. So I didn't go to work for a whole year to see if I could really do what I'm saying I can do. And so when that time ended, I was supposed to go back to teaching. And I went to my son and I said, hey, I said, guys, should I go back? And my son Apollos, he said, yeah, Dad, go ahead and go back. But guess what? Every day you go to work, you got to pay us a dollar every single day. And I was like, I said, okay, that was it for me. I said, you know, because I made that commitment, because I made that promise, it's not about the dollar every day. It's really about saying and doing what I said I was going to do. And so with that, I had to, you know, I had to pray. I had to ask God, agree with my wife, agree with my family. We all agreed that this was the right path for me to go. I had to ignore people who didn't understand what we were doing. I even had to ignore my parents and let them know that I was going to do it. I even told my aunt 2 years ago, I said, I want to be able to retire by 40. She didn't believe me. And so I retired from teaching in 2019. I said, I'm not going back. I turned in all the paperwork. I completely retired from teaching. And God has seen me through the rest of the way.
Amen. I think, man, we have a bigger picture. I think, like, as someone who wants to own a business, there's a bigger picture for us, and it's more involved than, you know, it's more involved than just us, you know.
Right.
When we step out like that, we're inspiring others. They may not tell you right away. They may not say nothing to you, but because you're inspiring others. I got a text the other day from one of my friends I interned with at Bridgestone. And he told me, he said, brother, I said, I commend you, man. I said, why, what happened? You know, I'm a little advocate on activist on social media when it comes to like black communities and stuff like that, like activists. And but he made a statement on one of the things, and then he also went in and told me, like, man, like, you're phenomenal. I said, why you say that? He said, you know how much money you walked away from to do what you do? I said, I commend you. And to see what you do, man, it inspires me. Like, he started thinking about, like, making the jump into something he loves too. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he's a Caucasian male out in California, and I love my guy, man. I love my guy. He's dope, man. Him and his wife do dance videos for years. I used to watch the dance videos for years, man. Before he even got married, but
wow.
he texted me that, and that it gave me more like power. You know what I'm saying? Like, just kind of like uplifted me more, because that now was a realization that it just never was about me. Like, when God told me to do what we did, or He told you to do what you do, and He told Coach C to do what you do, it's not about us.
Right.
It's about who we're supposed to inspire and motivate for the next generation.
Yeah.
So it's gonna move somebody that may have the same backlash. Like, yo, like, dang it, man. My family telling me don't do it. I got a wife and kid. I just can't do it. Maybe I should have done it when I was younger. God, why didn't you show me when I was younger? But it's not about us.
Nope.
It's about who we're supposed to inspire.
Exactly.
Who we're help make that jump. Who we're supposed to help lead, right? And I feel it so much, because a lot of people don't don't know how to handle the backlash.
Yeah.
You know, I took a crazy backlash. I left some money on the table that people were looking at me now like I'm kind of crazy for doing so. And, you know, with two kids and a wife who was in law school at the time, you know, to make the transition. But we had such a great supporting cast. I feel like God gave such a great supporting cast, and great grandparents, right? Like my kids' grandparents.
Right.
My parents
come too.
Yeah, and it's tough, because I know they were kind of like questioning it too, because sometimes, you know, it looked grim. And even for me too, I was like, man, but I'm disciplined. Whatever God got you doing, He gonna make sure you on that. Like, I started applying for other gigs to do overnight so I can do this. Everything got denied. I said, God, I got a degree. I'm a general. I used to be a general manager. I used to manage two different industries. Like, it should be an easy kick off for me to go get a job somewhere else overnight, whatever.
Right.
He blocked everything except subbing, because it had to do with my gift. Anything that has to do with the gift, He gonna keep it involved. Right.
Exactly.
So I was a free sub. I was able to freelance, because He wanted me to stay focused on the vision He has given me, right? Mm-hmm. So for those out there that is maybe getting some backlash and maybe second guessing yourself, again, it's not about you. It's about who you're supposed to inspire.
Right. Indeed.
That, and like David said earlier, you know, God will make room for your gift. Yeah. Your gift will make room for you. You know, mm-hmm. Everybody wants money. I don't know, not one person who don't want money. You know, everybody wants to live nice. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to live check to check, struggling, frustrated, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. But to me, I always had the concept is, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And I'm an ex-athlete. So my coach used to always put that, you know, in my head. Yeah. I have 4 quarters of basketball. If you're down the first quarter, you still got 3 more quarters left. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And exactly. I think people be looking at money and money signs and be like, oh man, ooh, shoot. If I be a teacher, I know I'm guaranteed a check every 2 weeks.
Right.
If I go ahead and start my business, 1 month I might be up and the next month I might be down.
Right.
But if you got faith, even on your down month, you should know God gonna take care of your bills. He's gonna provide.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Indeed. I like to call it as people turn their Wi-Fi on and off with their faith.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Today my Wi-Fi 100% with faith. Tomorrow, on and off, it ain't even on. I truly think, you know, that's what people are missing, man. Like, you got to grind. Like, everybody got gifts. Like, I'm to the point where I don't want to work for nobody no more. Mm-mm. But myself.
Right.
And I keep speaking on it, like, sooner or later, give me about, within about 5 years, I'll be on my own. And I'm a teacher, and I, don't get me wrong, I love what I do. Mm-hmm. But I think with what I have going on with swag and the vision that I have, I need to be doing this full time. I can't make room to teach and do swag full time.
Right, right. I found that time is something that you can't get back. All right. It's the one commodity that you can make money. You could get money and you can lose it, all right? You could have a girlfriend, boyfriend relationship and lose it. But time is something that you can't get back, so it's not something that you can wait and do. If you got to make a move, you got to make that move. But you just got to prepare for it. You got to prepare. And what I did is I made sure that I had enough. No, I didn't save up 3 or 4 months, you know, from teaching. I just made sure that, one, my faith was intact and knew that I can believe, and I had a support system. My wife wasn't even working when I quit my job. So you got to be able to have your faith intact, and you got to have a plan, and you got to believe that it's going to be what you want it to be. And as you were saying earlier, you got to be able to know and have balance. And what really transitioned me was I did a lot of things. I was doing video photography. I was doing weddings. I was taking pictures. I was making t-shirts. I was doing all these other things. And, I listened to one of Tyler Perry posts, and he says, you know, if you have 3 pots of plants, all right, and you want them all to grow, but you only have 1 water pot, you're going to keep trying to water in these 3 water pots, and they're all going to grow, but they're going to grow a little bit at a time. But if you focus on that one plant, and you got that water pot, and you water it every day, you feed it, and you take care of it, that plant going to grow. And then once you finish letting that one grow, you get to the next one. So what I did is I took a year off from doing any other artistic work. I just said, let me focus on Paint with Faith. So that way I can nurture that baby, take care of that baby, feed that baby, shake that baby, cuddle that baby until that baby can grow good and strong. So that way it can be able to walk on its own. And just like we take care of a baby, we got to be able to take care of our business. And we can't try to take care of all of these other kids and we not take care of our own baby. And letting our baby have the nourishment and the nurture that it needs to enable to grow. And when you try to force that baby to grow so fast, you know, that baby's gonna trip, they're gonna fall, they're gonna have bumps and bruises, and then that baby's not gonna even come out and even maybe resent you if you don't treat that baby right. So it's important. And when I'm saying baby, I'm talking about the business. You gotta be able to take care of it the proper way, give it the right nourishment, have the proper bank accounts, have the proper funding, have the proper everything, you know. And what I'm a real advocate for is making sure that business owners, small business owners, get their stuff in order. I mean, all right, having the right bookkeeping, having the right accountant, having the right lawyers, making sure your stuff is trademarked. And so I'm a big advocate for that, because when we're asking for the big monies, when we go to the big venture capitalists and big investors, they're going to be asking all those questions. And I just met with someone yesterday, said, hey, let us see your books. And I was able to pull it out. And he's like, okay, your profit loss statement is on point. Your income statement is on point. And so that's important that we have the proper paperwork and have the right proper business model to show to people. So when I ask for, you know, $200 million, they can say, you know what, Payment Fave is really doing what it's supposed to do. You got your books in order. Go ahead. We're not going to give you $200 million, but we're going to give you $100 million. I'm going to take it all day.
Right.
You mentioned, like,
that's another thing, having our paperwork in order. We good. We got so much talent, you know, speaking on blacks in general, but our paperwork all over the place, so we don't have our name, you know, padded where, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's really our business where somebody go look it up and be like, oh, you legit. Like, it's just the little things too that matter that we oversee and don't take advantage of. And then when somebody else go ahead and do it, yeah, you had the idea, but you ain't put the paperwork in order. But then again, what I get is, oh shoot, it's $500, you know what I'm saying, to make this a non-profit. Oh man, that's too much money.
Yeah.
Oh, you go get Jordans and you go shop for $500
all day.
Lost value. I'm sorry. Your business gonna keep your money flowing year after year, and guess what? Passing it down to generations. Passing it down to generations to come. But we don't think like that.
Yeah, invest in yourself. You know, that was, you know, it's crazy. The other night, God kept me up until like 2 a.m. I think, God, why can't I sleep? So I'm just on the phone, just researching different things. I said, God, like, I need like just proper funding so I can grab up my own separate building. I don't got to worry about nothing. You know, I've seen a couple franchise opportunities with, I don't know if you guys know High Five Sports.
Like, yeah,
yeah. They have their own sports complex that they set up for you, one for $25,000. And I was thinking, man, I said, but how? I said, I have no business credit. And I started looking up, and all of a sudden, like, lady from my church, her and her husband been doing credit for years, like 20 years. And they got my student loans off my credit report. And I'm like, kudos, shout out to them, right? Working Financial Services, shout out to y'all. But one thing that God started had me go through her page, and I seen a post like from 3 weeks ago about business credit. I thought, I forgot they do that. And I had just came up on a little bit of cash from the SBA grant, right? Like the loan, they didn't give me the loan because of credit, but they gave me the advance. So, you know, I sat there and she was like, well, you want me to do it for $3,500? It's only $2,500 today. And I said, you know what? Tomorrow morning, I'm going to call her and see if that deal is on, because I need to invest back into my business. So yes, they gave me money for my business, but I need to reinvest it so I can get more. So right, so that credit line, such a major thing for businesses. Like, businesses survive off credit lines, right? Target, Walmart, any major corporation, they survive off credit. So that's where I have to be wise and say, well, if I want the funds, I need to be able to be accessible to me. I need to be able to not only get the grants out there, and but I gotta be able to have that credit line so I can say, hey, like you said, here's $100 million for this building. This is mine, guys. So I want to name it this today. Can we do that now? You know, like, but that's the way to filter back into my business. Even with Coach C, with the nonprofit, she had to really dig into me. She was like, I know it's expensive, but you gotta do it. And Coach, after all this time, Kingdom Keys is finally a 501c3, right? So we finally a 501c3 after a year of battling, right?
Right.
And I'm happy. Now I'm able to, like, now I can go write people like Ford, hey, I need a van. They actually give donations for that. So is it how they say you have to do? You have to kind of contact the different dealerships, but they have an account just for that. So here, we'll give you this van, or we'll give you this top Chevy Suburban, or you can have for your program. That would be our gift from us to you. But now I'm able to go do that. So now, because Coach dug into me, and as far as to reinvest back in my business, now I'm looking at the bigger picture. Now I'm looking at it from a CEO standpoint.
Yeah,
so I was looking at it from a small business. And I told myself, I have to stop looking at it at that standpoint. I have to look at it as a CEO. How can we how can we get capital to do what we need to do? And that was, like you said, the paperwork and everything, that's what struck. I had to stop looking at it as a small business owner, right? No, I started looking at it as a CEO having to make major decisions to gain capital for my business to succeed for generations to come. And that, like, that was just so strong to me.
Definitely, definitely. I think it's important that in our community, and it's I'm an advocate for financial literacy, and I've been teaching it for years as well. And I even started, you know, Instagram, kind of episode series where I used to coach wrestling and I used to coach baseball at Booker T. I also coach wrestling at Kara City High School. And so I have a lot of followers and a lot of kids, you know, who I coach and motivated. But I think the most important thing that they need to understand as they graduated high school and as they're graduating high school is when you go into adulthood, it's important that you know that your report card doesn't exist anymore. All right. Your job is not going to ask, you know, did you make an A on your physics test? All right. Your job or your boss is not going to ask, hey, is your conduct on point in school? What they have to realize is their report card is really like their bank account or their bank statement. And you got to be able to understand that you got to know what you're doing with your money. You know, you shouldn't be going out trying to buy a car if you don't have money for insurance or money for, you know, the car note or money for gas. You know, a lot of kids jump out of high school and want to go buy a car, but they don't have all the necessities they need to do it. They just want to be able to get from A to B. And so it's important that we teach kids about financial literacy and understanding what you need to do. And learning how to use credit should be, you know, one of the first lessons we teach. One of my kids said, you know, Mr. Davis, I don't have good credit and I'm scared to get a credit card. I said, well, don't be scared, just get it. And I explained to him how credit works. He didn't know that you can make smaller payments. He thought he had to make the big payment every time. And I said, when you make the smaller payments, make sure you have it enough to pay the big payment, but you make smaller payments to show that you can pay the bill. And so I started a series called Coach Davis Cares, where I'm doing short, you know, financial literacy lessons that they can get in less than 10 minutes and that can they can apply to their lives. Buying stock, building credit, learning what an asset and a liability is. And in school, they're not going to learn this. They only going to learn it from their parents. And if their parents don't know, then they're never going to learn because their parents didn't know. So it's important and incumbent upon us as leaders and motivators and coaches of these kids to let them know how to use money, how to make money, and how to be able to apply it, how to build a budget, how to break a budget, but still bust the bank open. So it's important for us to understand how money works in our society, in our community. And the biggest thing I can say is before Black Panther came out, and I mean, one of the most phenomenal movies ever, before it came out, I went on and I said, hey, you know, we gonna bust this wide open. We gonna support this movie, and I guarantee you, it's gonna do $1 billion. And then after the movie came out, we did $1 billion in, you know, in like a month. And I came back and I was like, listen, look what our dollar does, you know. And if we can't learn it from anything else, learn it from that movie that our dollars are powerful. Even people, old people who thought didn't know nothing about Marvel or superheroes, went to go see Black Panther because they might have thought it was about the Black Panther Party, but they supported it and they loved it. And so our dollar, we say Black Lives Matter, but our Black dollars matter as well. So if we support each other, and I'm a proponent for Black businesses because in our community, and it's so sad to see and hear, you support a Black business, you don't get the service or whatever you want, you never support the business again. You go to McDonald's, you get a bad burger, you still go to McDonald's the next day.
Right.
We gotta, right. We gotta give each other a chance to build. I messed up the first, but we also, on the other side, we also as business owners have to own that. We can't say, oh, you know, you came late or this or that. We gotta own it and say, all right, you know, I messed up on your burger. I messed up on your product. I messed up the sign, but next time I'm gonna get you right. I'm gonna give you some of this money back. But I need you to come back and support me. We also, as business owners, we can't be like, oh, they're a bad customer. It's just them. We got to own both sides. You know, I've done a bunch of bad painting classes, you know, where I forgot my lines or I messed up the painting. I had a bunch of, where people had bad experiences. But I got to be able to come back and say, hey, you know, we did our best in that. I appreciate you even supporting us. And next time, we got you on whatever. So we, as business owners, got to be able to take care of our customers. And customers, as Black customers, also have to give us a second chance.
You're right, because they don't cut nobody off quicker than they cut us off. Like,
oh no, fact.
But like you said, we also got to learn how to take constructive criticism. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay, I did this wrong, X, Y, and Z. Okay, next time I'm gonna do it like this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We can't be so quick to jump the gun and attack the customers, as we all know, customers is always right. But at the same time, as customers, don't go on social media and bash us after one time with us. Like, wow. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how you feel. I have a family to feed. Like, nobody's perfect. I'm lost.
Yeah. And I think... Go ahead, Charlie.
Go ahead.
So, I think... and I always... When I see stuff like that, when I see other people bashing Black businesses, I don't care if it's on Facebook or Instagram, I go under that person and say, listen, don't do that to our community. You know, our dollar is constantly going out. As we've learned, the Jewish dollar goes 7 times. The Asian dollar goes 5 times. The white dollar goes 3 times. The Black dollar goes in the community 1 time and it's out of there. So we got to be able to make sure we keep putting our dollars in. We got to feed the Black business. Got to feed the and support the local business. And if we work together, listen, we're the only community that don't work together as well as everybody else. And when we, like Black Panther as an example, work together and work on the goal and have a mission, I mean, we can bust it wide open. We can take over so many things. And, you know, what we're doing on today is so important because we're taking our businesses, we're having a conversation, and we're understanding, you know, we can support and feed each other. Not only that, the people that's listening will also, you know what, that brother was right. I need to support my brother. I'm going to give them a second chance. And it's important that we keep having these conversations, not always talking about Black and white, but supporting and what we're supposed to be supporting.
You know what? And I'm going to say this one point, because I was watching a podcast or a show, and they were talking about Dr. Ben Carson. And you know what? As I got older, I realized what our community, regardless of what he felt for the president, a lot of us were bashing him, right? And undermining him. And this guy's an idiot. Right, and that's what I was getting from people, like, oh, this guy's an idiot because he endorses Trump. But he is, we have to support someone like him for reason being this, to go what he went through. If y'all heard his story, y'all, everyone has seen his story with Cuba Gooding Jr. playing him, you know what I'm saying? And he's an inspiration for kids, and we're alienating that.
Yeah.
We ourselves are alienating a person that we should be telling our kids about constantly. Hey, but Dr. Ben Carson, man, he had nothing.
Yeah.
They ridiculed this man. They did it.
Yeah.
And then because his political opinion, we decided as a people to alienate the man. And that's what, as our community, like you said, like, based on one experience, we can alienate everyone. And we're the only one that really does that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, when Jews were in Miami, they were like, it wasn't as bad as the Blacks in Miami, but the Jews, they didn't like the Jewish people in Miami. Mm-hmm. They did it. And it took for the Jews to put money together and said, no, our dollar is going to, and look what they did. We owned, as Black people, we owned the beaches at one point. Fisher Island was owned by a Black man.
Yeah.
You know, but it was just the togetherness that we could never do. We can never, Overtown was called Blacktown.
Yeah.
We could have fought them and not had them put that highway through there, right? Over 35,000 to 9,000 people living there now, right? And we could have, but because we never learned, throughout our history, we never learned togetherness. Can you imagine what our togetherness could look like?
Yeah.
You know, like you said, Black Panther. If we decided to say, hey, enough is enough, we put in our dog, we're gonna rebuild Black Wall Street.
Yeah.
We're gonna redo this. Me, Coach C, and Mr. Davis, we're gonna put some together. We're gonna buy some properties. And then we're gonna show kids how to do the same thing at 18 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reality of what we're doing, like you said, that we are bashing the people that we should be celebrating.
Right.
Our communities. We should be celebrating. And again, as you're right, as business owners, we should be looking to get better.
Right.
Taking like Coach said, criticism correctly. Taking that criticism and running with it. Like Chick-fil-A. I want a little Chick-fil-A. Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. Hey, we'll get it right the next time. You have a bad experience, but you'll be back. Because you know the quality of work that they actually do in all.
Exactly.
You may have a bad experience, but you're probably going to have 10 great ones.
Yep.
You know, yep. So like, as business owners, we got to continue, especially as Black business owners, we have to take that criticism. You know what, you're right. Let me do this. I'm going to give you your, next time you come in, I got you with a discount, bring the whole family, whatever, we'll supply food, just come in and have a good time. And they're going to appreciate that versus you battling with them. No, it's your fault. And then you got someone doing a whole online Google review.
Yeah.
And someone, what's the other one called? That they go on doing reviews on?
Yelp.
Huh?
Yelp.
They go on Yelp. They start posting videos on YouTube about your business. And now everyone out here talking about, I heard about that was a bad place to eat. I don't want to go there no more.
Now you're out of business.
We have to stay together, man. We have to.
Definitely.
So I think that's pretty much it. Was there anything to say?
Yeah, I was just about to say, man, it was good having you here. If you could leave us with some words of wisdom for people that's listening, for kids that's listening, that's, lacking faith, business-wise, physical, mental, what you want to leave the world with, with Paint With Faith and, everything that you got going on. But what you said today was a mouthful. If nobody ain't learned nothing from this podcast today, something ain't right.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think what needs to really be said is this is no better time for you to become prosperous and be successful in the world. We didn't have cell phones growing up. We didn't have YouTube. We didn't have Google. There's no reason that no young person can be successful in this generation. All right. There's no excuse at this particular point. Even if you have a disability, even if you have bad grades, no matter what you have in this generation, there's no excuse for any young person to not be successful. All right. Success is always going to be dependent on you, but you don't have an excuse. I used to coach wrestling and I used to coach baseball. And in those coaching, I used to tell my wrestlers and my baseball players, don't drink the excuse juice, all right? Don't drink it, all right? Don't swallow it. Don't even feed it to me. Because you have such great opportunity, you want to become a YouTube star in 1 year, put in the work. You want to be an Instagram star in 1 year, you got to put in the work. So there's no excuse for you not to be successful. You have the greatest marketing abilities, social media. You can reach people in China, in India, in Australia. So this is a great opportunity, but you got to put in the work. You got to be able to take the time and the gifts that you have and give it to the world. As Les Brown, as we said earlier, you want to die empty. Don't waste your time just playing video games unless they paying you to play the video games. Don't waste your time just posting on social media unless they paying you to post on social media. Take what you already doing and make sure they paying you to do it. So that's what I want to be able to embark on, everybody. Learn how money works, all right? Learn how money is not real, it's not tangible. Credit card is money, a check is money, cash is money. Those are all forms of money, but they all are used for you to keep doing what you need to do. Learn about credit, learn about your budgets, learn about all those things. And if you have questions, ask me. Look, you can find me on social media at Paint With Faith, or you can find me on my personal page and get lessons at Chevis the Goat, G-O-A-T. I learned in Spanish my name means goat, so I just became Chevis the Goat. So and I also consider myself the greatest of all time. Claim what you want to be, all right? When somebody says, I really miss my art teacher, Mr. Davis, because he was the greatest of all time, that's powerful. I really love that art painting class. That was the greatest of all time. I claim it. So you got to be able to claim what you want to achieve and be able to do exactly what you said that you want to be. If you read your Bible, if you read anything in history, these people claim with their name what they wanted to be. Alexander the Great, self-proclaimed. So if you want to be great, name yourself, Charles the Great, Coach C the Great, whatever it is. And I claim myself as Chevis the Goat because I made a commitment to be successful. I made a commitment to be the greatest of all time. And whatever vernacular I'm doing, I'm trying and I'm striving to be the greatest of all time. So again, you can hit me up. Ask me questions. I'm an open book. And make sure you guys, number one, read. okay? Read. Education is not just about going to school. Education is about learning, all right? So if you're not learning at school, learn on YouTube. Learn in a book. Learn on blogs. But you need to be educating yourself. And I set out a challenge for each and every individual on my Facebook and Instagram to read 52 books a year, all right? Charles said he's a CEO now. Top CEOs are reading 52 books a year, which means that's one book a week. And I made a commitment to do it, and I'm hoping everybody else make a commitment to do it. If you can't do 52, do half. But you need to be reading, you need to be learning, and you need to be educating yourself so you can be better and you can be the greatest of all time. So again, hit me up if you need questions. I give you the answer as best as I can give it to you.
Awesome. What I'm gonna leave y'all with is if you didn't hear anything today, what I liked the most from Mr. Davis was balance, faith, stepping out on faith in your goal, you know, in your vision, and no matter what, don't give up. It can only grow. And key thing, God will make room for you. Your vision will make room for you. If it's really for you, God got you. Don't hesitate. Don't jab at it. Just go. Just go. Don't even look back. Don't worry about what people say. People gonna always have something to say. Keep going. It's your dream. That's why God gave you the dream. God gave you the vision. He didn't give it to you to get validation from your mom, uncle, aunt, brother, cousin, boyfriend, girlfriend. He's validating you. So that's what I'm gonna leave y'all with today.
I want y'all to think like we talked about earlier, a CEO mindset. You know, don't think like, even if you're not running a business, don't think like an employee, think like a boss. Like, that's how you elevate yourself in that company. You can't think, whenever you have that employee mindset, you don't elevate in the companies. Think like a CEO. If you're running your own business, stop thinking like a small business owner that's just happy to be here. Think of yourself as a CEO who is gonna run one of the most reputable companies in the world. All right. So with that being said, real quick, Mr. Davis, give us all your social media info. I almost forgot about that. Give us everything, how to contact you, how they can book you, you know, the painting classes. Tell them how they can contact you.
Definitely. Go to paintwithfaith.com. You can go to chevisdavis.com on Instagram, chevisagoat, at paintwithfaith. On Instagram, on Facebook, you can just type in my name, Chevis Davis. You can Google my name, Chevis Davis, and everything I do will come up there. I'm a best-selling author. I'm a motivational speaker. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. So whatever you need, I got you. If it's art-related, I got you. If it's motivation-related, I got you. Just follow me. Find me. I even got the Paint with Faith YouTube channel. I got some free lessons on there. If you want to be able to paint, want to see what we have to offer, go to Paint with Faith on YouTube, and we got you. But we definitely looking to make some moves, some strides. And in the next year, we're going to look like a whole other company. And so I'm excited to show you how faith works. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And we definitely putting in the work. And our faith going to be activated at the same time.
Awesome. So with that being said, we ball so hard, we'll see.